Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Joining us, as he does every Wednesday to talk sports, is NPR's Only a Game host, Bill Littlefield. Hi there, Bill.
Hello, Magna.
Okay, so we just heard Tom Goldman explain about this women's badminton controversy. Losing to ease your way to the final, essentially, is my take. What's your take on that?
Well, there's another angle to this that I think is kind of interesting. There's an apocryphal, perhaps apocryphal, certainly old story about Joe DiMaggio, the great Yankee outfielder. He was hurt. He was tired. He was in the dugout getting ready to play, and one of his teammates said, "Joe, why do you go out there every day and play so hard, even when you're hurt and tired and we're 52 games ahead of the second place team," or whatever the Yankees were at the time? And he said, "You know, there may be somebody in the stands who bought a ticket today and has never seen me before." Mm-hmm. There were people at those badminton matches who aren't going to be there later in the tournament to see the later games. These tickets aren't cheap, and a lot of people aren't going to a whole lot of events, and they got cheated. They saw some athletes not trying to win.
Flies in the face of the Olympic spirit. Whatever else
you want to say, blame the people who put the format together, whatever else you want to say, the people who paid for those tickets were cheated out of the event and the spectacle that they anticipated seeing.
Now, Bill, the Badminton World Federation has punished the players for not abiding by the code of conduct. That makes it sound like it was a simple lack of sportsmanship, but as you say, a lot more at stake there. Is anyone taking their side in this?
Only the people who blame the format, and they're saying don't blame the, I've heard some in the British press who've said don't blame the players, blame the format. They were pursuing the gold medal in the most efficacious way that they could think to do it, and too bad that the format was set up the way it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on, if we can, to some happier news, which by now everyone's probably familiar with, and that is the gold medal win by the U.S. women's gymnastics team last night for the first time since 1996 when the U.S. women won the all-around team competition. Only the second time in the history of the Olympics that the U.S. has pulled off such a feat. So here's a little tape from team captain and Needham native Allie Raceman.
It definitely hasn't sunk in yet. It's really cool to say they were Olympic champions.
So the team was dominant last night. There's kind of no question about that. Not a surprise, is it?
Well, it wasn't a surprise to anybody who was paying attention to sort of where gymnastics stand right now. They came in as world champions. They came in as favorites. But it's always still your heart's in your throat when you're watching them, because this is the sort of sport where one little slip can take somebody right out of the competition. And in this case, a couple of little slips can take a team right out of the competition. Ask the Russians.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of excitement and a lot of pride in Needham, home to Allie Raceman. And Bill, many people are comparing this team to the Magnificent Seven, the 1996 group that included people like Kerry Strug and Shannon Miller and others. What's your thing? What's your estimation of how they compare?
Well, can I take a leaf from the book of the estimable Larry Bird, who said, "Of course our dream team wouldn't beat their dream team. I haven't played basketball in 20 years, and we're really old now." The Kerry Strugs of the world, the Shannon Millers of the world are 16 years older. They're all taking Advil to get out of bed in the morning. Come on, they couldn't possibly compete with this contemporary team.
Well, to my unpracticed eye, though, Bill, it looks like a whole different type of gymnastics. It's all power and precision and very little artistry and grace.
Well, I see lots of artistry and grace. You're right about the power and precision, certainly, but I don't see any lack of grace in that. I was absolutely stunned. It was beautiful.
When I watch them, I fear for their lives. They are so daredevilish. Anyway.
Well, let's move on. We can't leave out, of course, the most historic news from last night. Michael Phelps, the American swimmer, becomes the most decorated Olympian in history with 19 medals, 15 of them gold. Bill, what does Michael Phelps do for an encore?
That is an excellent question. I assume he goes home and takes off his bathing suit, puts on some Bermuda shorts, and writes the great American novel. I don't know what he does. I don't know. We can't imagine what anybody does after this sort of achievement.
19 medals.
Unbelievable.
And yet, so his achievement, stunning. We're here wishing that we could win 19 medals in anything. But at the same time, Bill, it's really notable that his performance at the London Games really hasn't quite matched what he did 4 years ago in Beijing. So, for example, in his first race in London, didn't medal at all. Then in the 200-meter butterfly, loses to South African Chad Leclos, I should say, by 0.5 of a second. That's quite a bit in swimming, even though he was in the lead for most of the race. So here's how Michael Phelps responded when NBC's Bob Costas asked us about his silver medal last night.
It's hard to say that when you win a silver medal that something has gone wrong, but your standard is so high, I guess we can put it that way. What went wrong?
It's probably the finishes that I've done in workout. You know, it ended up coming out here. You know, there are times where I would go kind of slow into the wall and work out or kind of touch kind of lazy, and it showed.
Bill, it does make you wonder for how long someone can actually perform at that level.
Well, isn't it also sort of taking something away from the guy who beat him? I mean, the guy didn't beat Phelps because Phelps was a bum. he beat Phelps because he swam a little bit faster, about half a second, as it turned out. You got to give him credit. You know, tip your hat to the guy who won.
I still have to go back to these 19 medals. He's being called the greatest Olympian of all time. Do you agree with that?
By measure of numbers, you have to agree with that. You simply have to. But it's such a subjective thing. And for me, the greatest Olympian of all time, because she was the first person who ever was perfect, was Nadia Comaneci.
That's Bill Littlefield. He talks sports with us every Wednesday. He's host of NPR's Only a Game, which you can hear right here on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Bill, thanks as always.
Thank you, Anthony.
Stay with us, because coming up, you've heard the old line that it takes a village. Well, now for many tech-savvy moms, that village is online. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.